الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue our readings in the treatise Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba, the four principles by the great Imam Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه تعالى. In our previous class we were discussing the issue the author he mentioned about Al-Hanifiyya. He said, رحمه تعالى اعلم رشدك الله لطاعته أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم أن تعبد الله وحده مخلصا له الدين. Now may Allah guide you, direct you to His obedience, that Al-Hanifiyya, the religion, the millah, the way, the deen of Ibrahim, it is to worship Allah alone, making the entire religion sincerely for Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can remind us some of the benefits with regards to this word Al-Hanifiyya? Al-Hanifiyya, what is Al-Hanifiyya? نبدأ درسنا الليلة بالمراجعة. We start tonight with some review. Al-Hanifiyya. For example, we discussed in the previous class the linguistic meaning, and the word is derived from, and the fact that this is the way of Ibrahim and the previous Anbiya and Mursaleen, and that Allah, He has described His Prophet Ibrahim and the Quran in more than one place as being Hanif, praising those people who are Hunafa in His book Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, غَيْرَ مُشْرِكِينَ بِهِ الْحَنِيفِيَّةِ. The root word from Al-Hanaf. Al-Hanaf bimana Al-Mayl. Al-Mayl means to incline, to turn away from, to lean. مَا لَيَمِيلُ, it means to lean away, or to turn away, or to incline towards something. So Al-Hanif, that's the meaning of the word Al-Hanif, the root word of Al-Hanifiyya. Al-Hanif, to turn away, or to incline, to lean away from something. So what is the relationship between this linguistic meaning and the meaning of the way of Ibrahim, Al-Hanifiyya, or that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was Hanif, and his deen is deen al-Hanif, and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Hanifiyya, wa habu al-adiyani ila Allahi, al-Hanifiyya tus-samha. Sah. There is a specific meaning though, to lean away. To lean away. So the one who is Hanif, he's leaning away from something. Turning away from something. Sure. From shirk. From shirk. From everything that is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, from shirk particularly. So the one who is Hanif, he is the one who is turning away from shirk. Naam al-Hanifiyya is to lean and to turn away and to incline and turn, and to direct oneself away intentionally from shirk. From shirk and its people. From shirk in its way. So Al-Hanifiyya, just like the author said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ, that you worship Allah alone, making the religion sincerely for Him. So they say Al-Hanif, the ulama, they mentioned the one who is considered Al-Hanif, هو المقبل على الله تعالى وحده المعرض عما سواء, the one who is devoted and dedicated entirely to Allah alone. He's devoted and dedicated. Al-Muqbilu ala Allah. He's, and bil-iqbal, he's turning his intention and his devotion and his whole self and his life entirely towards Allah Azza wa Jalla and to His pleasure. Seeking the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala by complying to His commandments, by worshipping Him alone with no partners, by giving Him His rights Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and turning away from everything that would cause a deficiency in this worship or in this way. He left everything off, shirk, major shirk, and minor shirk likewise, leaving off innovations and leaving off sins. Al-Muqbilu ala Allahi al-Mu'ridu amma siwahu, turning away from everything besides Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what Allah has described His Prophet with, Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he is Hanif, in the way of Ibrahim al-Hanifiyya. And this way was known even to the Arabs in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there were still some remnants of that deen left, like the tawaf around the bayt and the likes like this, al-Hanifiyya. So here the author, he is telling us that al-Hanifiyya, the way of Ibrahim, likewise it's the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise it's the way of all of the previous prophets before that, calling to the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal and to stay away from shirk. وَلَقَدَ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. All of the previous prophets and messengers, they had the same call, calling to at-tawheed and calling to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and warning from shirk and polytheism, and associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal in worship, and warning from everything that is considered disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. The head of that is shirk. So he says that Hanifiyya millat Ibrahim and ta'bud Allah wahdahu mukhlisan lahu ad-din, to make the religion sincerity and impurity for him alone. كما قال وبذلك أمر الله جميع الناس وخلقهم لها. And this is what Allah has commanded all of the mankind, and this is likewise what He has created them for. كما قال تعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. Just like what Allah has mentioned, and I have not created the jinn and the mankind except to worship Me alone. So we ended our previous class with the question: if a person, he realized that this is his purpose in life, and that Allah created him to worship Him alone, then the question here, after realizing that, would be, what is worship? What is worship? If a person, he came to find out and to understand, or if he already knew that, but he was misguided, and then he remembered, SubhanAllah, I was created for worship. Allah Azza wa Jal created me to worship Him alone. Then he would think to himself, what is worship? What is worship? Because this is the purpose in life, and this is the means to obtain success and felicity and happiness and tranquility and peace and relaxation in the mind and in the body and every good in this life and likewise in the hereafter, by fulfilling that purpose. And all misery and all failure and all trial and calamity goes from falling short and fulfilling that purpose and giving some of that worship to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So then what is ibadah? Ma ma'na ibadah? Su'al al-muhim, very important question. We can review, alhamdulillah. The ulama, they mentioned that the word ibadah, it comes from the root word abada. Abada ya'budu, u'bud, ibadatan. Abada, the original meaning of al-ibadatu, tathallul wal-khudu'. And the ulama, they mentioned the example of the linguistic usage, that the Arabs, they used to speak about the path. They were like the tariq. They call the path that is paved and flat, that the feet, the people's feet have traversed upon that path many times until it has become paved and flat. It's become submissive, and it's a clear way, and it's flat, and it's a humble path that's been stepped on, and the feet have made it flattened like this, like paved, a paved way. They call this tariqun mu'abbad. Mu'abbad, from the same root. Tariqun mu'abbad. Mu'abbad. Also, they mentioned the example of the ba'ir, the camel that is submissive and it is compliant to the owner or to the rider. The one that is beneficial is compliant, it submits to the command of the rider and the likes and to the owner. They call him ba'irul mu'abbad, the same meaning, mu'abbad, meaning yani mudhallal, that is very submissive. So the tariq al-mu'abbad, the paved road, al-mumahhad, the one that's is laid flat. It's laid flat and submissive. It's smooth and the likes. So this is the linguistic meaning. The linguistic meaning of the word ibadah. So the person who is described with being in a state of ibadah, this is how he should be likewise, having the similar meaning of submission, of submission and humbleness and humility, not being boastful or being arrogant, not turning away, not rejecting, and the likes like this, not refusing, but rather submitting and being humble in submission. From this meaning, the ulama, they mentioned that the word ibadah, legislatively, it has two fundamental principles. Two fundamental principles. We discussed them in the previous class. You can remember? And the person who is in the state of ibadah. The word ibadah, as mentioned before, has two meanings. The action is called ibadah, like salat is ibadah, and zakat is ibadah, and hajj is ibadah, seeking knowledge is ibadah, reading Quran is ibadah. This is the action itself. And then there's the state of being that the individual is in. He's in a state of ibadah. So this is the definition that we need here. The other one has a different definition. We mentioned in the previous class the definition of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. That's the other one. Naam, we're going to get there. That's the referring to the actions themselves. الإخلاص بمتابعة. We're getting there. This is the conditions for ibadah. And if we were to discuss the topic of ibadah, there's many important points to discuss. From them, this here, that there's conditions for ibadah. Sahih. But the ibadah itself, a person, when is he considered an abid? When is he considered that he's worshiping Allah? What is his characteristic? It has a relationship to the linguistic meaning. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that al-ibadah, it is ghayatu al-hubbi ma'a ghayati al-dhulli wal-khudu'. Ghayatu al-hubb, al-mahabba, love, the peak, the epitome, the ghayat, the absolute peak, or they would say the epitome of love. Ghayatu al-hubbi ma'a ghayati al-dhulli wal-khudu'. And the peak of submission and humility, humbleness, and humility and humbleness. So this is the one who is truly worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. The one who, while he is performing the action of worship, like salat for example, or like giving charity for example, that at that time that he is in this manner, submitting to Allah Azza wa Jalla, he's worshipping him out of love for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is one of the meanings of At-ta'alluh, or the word that al-ilah comes from. The word al-ilah, it means to have love. The one who loves Allah Azza wa Jal, he deifies him and he worships him and he loves him because of his beautiful names and attributes of perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of the good that he does for him and providing for him all of the good that he has. Subhanahu wa ta'ala providing for that servant. So he loves his Lord, he loves his Creator, he loves the one who provides for him, he loves the one who is blessing him with his eyesight, he loves the one who is granting him good health and a family, he loves the one who is making his day safe for him and keeping him secure from danger, he loves the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who guided his heart to Islam, he loves the one who gave him success to pray Salat al-Fajr, he loves the one who gave him the success to give charity and to believe and to fast Ramadan and to answer the call of Allah Azza wa Jal. He loves him, the servant, he loves him. So there's love involved. Ibadah, it has the meaning of love. To love Allah Azza wa Jal. To love Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who completed his iman will not be complete until he loves Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anything. More than anything. Or he will not taste the sweetness of iman until this is the case. ذاق حلاوة الإيمان من كان الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. That this is the case. الحب. That means that the servant, he will give preference to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla and what Allah loves over everything else, even his own desires, even his family's desires, even the whims of the people. He will give preference to what Allah loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ibadah, it is al-hubbu, ghayatu al-hubbi. Ghayatu al-hubbi, ma'a ghayati al-dhulli wa al-khudu'. A believer tried to remember that. He would try to remember that. And then whenever he's worshiping Allah, Azawajal, he remembered this, that I'm worshiping Allah now. Why am I praying? Because Allah, He commanded me to pray. And I believe in Him and I love Him. And He is providing for me and He is giving me all the good that I have. He is my Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will return to Him. And I hope that He will be pleased with me. I love Him. I have in my heart there's love for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this requires Him to be submissive. To be submissive. Dhul. Yatadhallal. So the one who is standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but he is not fulfilling these pillars here. And his heart is not submitting. He's not compliant. He's thinking about something else. Even if he was sincere, he's not associating partners, for example. He's not showing off in his worship. He came sincerely, but he's not focused. He's thinking about his job. He's thinking about what's going to happen later. At this time, he's not being submissive to his Lord. He's not being humble. He's not being showing humility, and his love is in his heart is attached to something from the dunya. So if he were to say Allahu Akbar and then he thinks about the dunya, at that time is Allah Akbar in his heart, and he's thinking about something else. He's saying one thing and thinking about another thing. So a believer, he would try to worship Allah in this manner. This is true worship. Ibn Qayyim likewise, he mentioned that if one of these were to not be present, he would not really be worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. If he was very submissive, but he did not do it out of love, or if he had love, but he wasn't submissive and humble in this manner, in surrendering himself, then it would not be considered the worship. It would not be considered any correct worship. So then the worship that a believer was created for, that the human being was created for, is this type of worship, a dhul. So whenever a person, he loves Allah Azza wa Jal, he will seek His pleasure. He will seek His pleasure. The more strong the love becomes in the heart of the servant, the more obedient he will be. The more submissive he will be. The more he will surrender himself. If the love becomes deficient, then maybe he will prefer the love of his desires over the love of Allah. Or maybe he will prefer the love of something from the dunya, or the people of the dunya, from his family or wealth or the likes or status, over the love of Allah, giving preference to those and the command of his soul or his desires over the command of his Creator and his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever the heart is full of the love of Allah azza wa jal, and it's stronger than his obedience, likewise is stronger. His obedience likewise is stronger. It's been mentioned from Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 181. It's been ascribed to him, but it's also been mentioned from other than him, some lines of poetry, that has been said, تَعْسِيَ الْإِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تَزْعُمُ حُبَّهُ هَذَا لَعَمْرِيَ فِي الْفِعَالِ بَدِيعُ لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. That he said, or the poet, he mentioned that you disobey al-ilah, yani the true God. You disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, and at the same time you claim that you love Him. He said, this is something yani very amazing. This is something very amazing. He said, if your love was truthful, or if you were truthful in your love, then you would have obeyed Him, because verily the one who, or the lover, he will always obey the beloved. He will obey the beloved. So then, the reality of obedience and worship, it comes back to the love of the heart. It comes back to the love in the heart. Whenever the love in the heart for Allah Azza wa Jalla and for His deen and for His commandments is greater, then his submission and his surrender will be greater. And thus, likewise, his worship will be more, and he will have a greater portion of the ubudiyyah and the servitude that he was created for. So this is the case. The author, he mentioned the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. This is the worship that we were created for, submission, surrender, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know Him and to love Him, to know Him by His names and attributes, and to know Him from His creation, and to know Him likewise from His legislation, and to love Him, and to draw near to Him in a manner that is pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Him with submission, and to worship Him with humbleness and humility, and to surrender oneself to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one, he is a Muslim. This one is a Muslim and a believer, the one that has surrendered to Allah azza wa jal. So likewise, This is the meaning of the state of ibadah. The state of ibadah. Then with regards to the meaning of ibadah, al-muta'abbadu bihi, yani that which is the one worships Allah with, like salat or zakat. That was the definition of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. رحمه الله تعالى اسم جامع لكل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الأقوال والأعمال الظاهرة والباطنة الظاهرة والباطنة. It's a concise term for everything that Allah loves and is pleased with from speech and action. Everything that Allah loves and is pleased with from speech and action, whether it's apparent or hidden, outward or inward, this is considered ibadah. So this is what we were created for. This is why Allah Azza wa Jalla, He created the creation. Likewise, the ibadah has two conditions. What are they? Al-ikhlasu wal-mutaba'a. Al-ikhlasu wal-mutaba'a. These are some of the realities, important affairs, likewise related to this ibadah that we were created for. That there are two conditions. Al-ikhlasu wal-mutaba'a. And the dalil for that? وَعَبُدُ اللَّهَ وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ اللَّهُ الدِّينَ. Nam. This is one proof. That's for the first condition. The second condition? أيوة أحسنت. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِكُمُ اللَّهُ. This is the proof for the second condition. طيب, a verse that has a proof for both conditions. One verse, both conditions. The last verse in Surah Al-Kahf. رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. This is the condition of المتابعه ولا يشرك بعباده ربه احدا, and to not associate any partners whatsoever with his lord. Ahsantum. Now this is there are other proofs too that Allah, He mentioned in His book, combining the condition of, or the two conditions of, al-ikhlas wal mutaba'a. These are some of the issues related to the ibadah. This is why we were worshiped, to surrender and to submit, to comply to the Creator. Allah Azza wa Jal, He promised that the one who does that, He will grant him honor and success in this life. And He will aid him and support him. And He will give him nobility in this life and tranquility and peace in his heart. And He will guide him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will guide him to that which is good in this life. And He will cause him to die in a good manner. And likewise, He will honor him with the high ranks in paradise in the hereafter. Those who fulfill that purpose in life, those who believe in Him and worship Him, that this is the promise. And likewise, those who turn away from this, then they have the threat and the promise of the hellfire and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will abide therein, and they will not die. They will not live, nor will they die. Boy, they will not live a life of peace or pleasure, and neither will they die, so that they can be free from pain and worry. But rather they will live in torment for turning away. This life, it is a test. This life, it is a test. This verse right here is a very important verse for a believer and for a Muslim to understand in detail, and to memorize it and to know it. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I did not create, Allah, He said, I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in al-usul al-thalatha, one of the meanings of illa liya'budun, illa liyuwahhidun, and except to single me out alone in worship, except to make tawheed. And this has come from many of the ulama of the salaf. Even it has been mentioned from some of the salaf that they would say every command in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal for ibadah is the command for at-tawheed. كل أمر في كتاب الله بالعبادة أمر بالتوحيد. That every command in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal for ibadah, for worship, in reality it is a command for tawheed. This is what the author, he is establishing here, that if there is no tawheed, there is no ibadah. If there is no tawheed, there is no ibadah. So this is why we were created, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and the worship that we were created for, it is at-tawheed. It is at-tawheed. This is why Allah, He created the creation. This is why the heavens and the earth are established. This is why there is rain in the sky, and water in the seas, and the fish, and the plants, and the trees, and the animals, and all the lights like this, and the people, and the jinn. All of this is to establish the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The purpose from all of this creation, including us, is to establish the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Not only did He create this creation for that purpose, but also He sent messengers, all calling to that purpose, as we have seen, all of them calling to the same call. Ya qawmi i'budu Allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. He sent books, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all for this purpose, the establishment of at-tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He even created the people, and He has created them in this manner that this is what they know, and this is what they prefer. And it's something that is ingrained, that Allah has ingrained in every soul, like this. Fitrat Allah allati fatara an-nas alayha. That Allah, He has created the people in this manner. This is the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not later until the parents, they misguide the child. Either the parents or those who are given charge over those children, they're the ones who mislead them and cause them to be Jews or Christians. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. That every child, he's born on the fitrah. أي عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وَعَلَى مُحَبَّةِ الْحَقِّ. He loves the truth. He loves the inclination to believe that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. The inclination to know that there is a creator, and that everything in this life is the creation, and the life's like this, to know that there's only one Lord and creator. This is the fitrah of Allah Azza wa Jal, the deen of al-Islam in general. And this is how every child is born. And then it's not until the parents, they change it. يُنَصِّرَانِهِ وَيُهَوِّدَانِهِ وَيُمَجِّسَانِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're the ones who cause them to become Jews, or cause them to become Christians, or Majus, or the likes like this. And this hadith right here is a tanbih for those parents. Even if the parent himself is a Muslim, but he is not raising his child, he's letting others raise his child, then maybe that could happen likewise. Because this is the case. Every child, he is born on the fitrah. And then what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, his parents, any of the caretakers, the ones who are raising it, the ones who are bringing it up, the ones who are teaching it and disciplining it, the child, they're the ones who cause it to become a Christian, or cause it to become a Jew, and their cultivation and their raising and the likes like this. So it's very important for a believer to keep his children far away from the hands of those people who may raise their child upon another way than the way of Islam. Because that's what happens. The child, he can become a Christian. He can become misguided. He can become a Jew. If a person is allowed to be raised in the hands of those people, that's what they call to, and that's how they raise them, whether directly or indirectly. So even if the parent, he himself is the Muslim, but he's not raising his child, he's giving his child to other people to teach it and to raise it and to cultivate it 7 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 6 hours a day, 1 minute a day. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يَهَوِدَانِهِ وَيُنَصِّرَانِهِ وَمَجِسَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِسَانِهِ. That every child, he's born on the fitrah, and then it's his parents, and the guardians, those people who are raising it, those people who are raising it, teaching it, they're the ones who cause it to become a Christian or a Jew and the likes like this. So in any case, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He created us to be Muslims. He created the people not to be Jews or Christians. Rather, He created them for Tawheed. He created the whole creation, and He sent messengers to clarify that, and He revealed books, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this purpose, for the establishment of At-Tawheed. What's the proof? The author, he mentioned the verse. وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And except to worship me. We go back to the principle. Every command in the book of Allah for worship is a command for التوحيد. إِلَّا لِيُوَحِدُونَ. That's why Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab in the previous, in Usul al-Thalatha, he says, إِلَّا لِيُوَحِدُونَ. It's been narrated from Ibn Abbas likewise, and other than them, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. That's the meaning, التوحيد. إِلَّا لِيُوَحِدُونَ. Except to single me out alone and worship, and except to establish the Tawheed, except to establish the Tawheed. No one will enter paradise except with Tawheed. And no one can be removed from the fire except with Tawheed. No one can obtain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal except a person of at-tawheed. This means that tawheed is very important. Very, very important that a believer, he should give time from his life to learn it in detail so that he can live upon it in detail, in clarity, and that he knows at-tawheed in general and in detail, and he can explain it to others, and he can call to others. This is the call of the prophets, all of them. They call to at-tawheed. Rather, their call, all of it, was إِيَّاكَ to إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And that you alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek your help. This is the deen of the Anbiya. And this is the reason why they were sent. And this is the reason why we are breathing. This is the reason why a person, he is alive, in order to establish the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. So from here we see the importance of learning that Tawheed. And also we see why the ulama have given so much concern and detail to teaching at Tawheed in many different works and many different books, encouraging the students whenever they return to focus on this. And this is the da'wah and the call of all of the Anbiya, and likewise the ulama that are upon the correct way, and the students. This is the case. They call to at-tawheed, the fundamental. The ulama, they mentioned that at-tawheed is two types. Anybody familiar with that? Two types. The tawheed that we were created for is two types. This is important to understand. The tawheed that we were created for, the ulama, they mention, is two types. At-tawheed al-ilmi. At-tawheed al-ilmi. And the second type, at-tawheed al-amali. Al-amali. We want to memorize that. That this is why we were created. Two main reasons. Tawheed. I mean, all of it is tawheed. But this tawheed is more than, it's one aspect of that tawheed. The reality of that tawheed. The ulama, they divide it into two types. At-tawheed al-ilmi wa at-tawheed al-amali. Al-amali. So what is at-tawheed al-ilmi? The tawheed of knowledge and understanding. Awareness, knowledge, understanding, having knowledge. The tawheed, at-tawheed al-ilmi. This is the tawheed that we're created for, to have knowledge. This tawheed right here includes the tawheed al-ilmi, the tawheed of the knowledge, or the knowledge of tawheed. This includes two aspects. At-tawheed al-rububiyya wa at-tawheed al-asma'i wa sifat. These two categories here are under this aspect. What is the main goal from studying tawheed al-rububiyya wa tawheed al-asma'i wa sifat? To know Allah Azza wa Jal. To know Allah by His names and His attributes, and to know Him by His actions. To know Him by His lordship. To know Him by His authority, that He is the creator, that He is the owner and the disposer. These are His actions. This is what He does. And to not associate any partners with Him in that. He creates alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave everything its shape and its form alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives life alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He causes death alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yuhyi wa yumeet. He is the one who is disposing of the affairs of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who is sending the rain from the sky. He is the one who is causing the children's feet to grow. He is the one who is causing everything in this life to go in this harmony that we see. The sun comes up and it goes down daily, and every day is a new day. The sun goes up and it comes down in the best and most beautiful manner, but every day is a new day. Every day is a new day, and the deeds done in this day are not the deeds done in the days before. And those days that have passed, they cannot come back, and you cannot change them. But every day is a new day. Naam. هو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفة لمن أراد أن يذكر أو أراد الشكورة. That He is the one who has made the night and the day an alternation for those who want to remember. And you remember the power of Allah Azza wa Jal, and remember His authority and His rububiyyah and His right to be worshipped, subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone. And He wants to show thanks. This is the tawheed al-ilmi. At-tawheed al-ilmi. To know Allah Azza wa Jal from His rububiyyah and from His lordship. To know Him from His actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to single Him out in that. And to know that He is the only one who does these actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ifradullahi bi af'alihi. This is Tawheed al-Rububiyya. And then Al-Asma'i wa Sifat, to know Him by His names and attributes that He has mentioned about Himself in His book. And that He has mentioned, that His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned about Him. This all here is under the category of at-tawheed al-ilmi. At-tawheed al-ilmi. The knowledge-based tawheed. What is intended from that? Two types. Tawheed al-rububiyyah wa tawheed al-asma'i wa sifat. So this is the tawheed we're created for. We're created to know Him. He created us in this creation to know Him. That's from the tawheed that we're created for. Naam illa liyuwahidun. This is the tawheed that we're created for. Al-rububiyyah. At-tawheed al-ilmi. Lina'rifa. So that we know Him. So that we know Him. Not knowing Him by desires and whims. Knowing Him by His creation. Knowing Him by seeing His creation and the greatness of His creation and seeing how great He is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing that He's worthy of worship. Knowing Him from His actions. Knowing Him from His names and His attributes that He has mentioned in His book and on the tongue of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're created for this. This is the best thing in this life. The one who goes in this life and leaves this life and he never tasted the sweetness of Tawheed, then he missed his whole purpose in life. He missed the best thing of life. The reason that he's created to know Allah Azza wa Jal. Because if a person knows Allah Azza wa Jal and he sees his greatness, then what will he do? He will love Him. And then if he loves Him, what will he do? He will seek His pleasure in that which is with Him, causing him to surrender and to submit and to be compliant and submissive. That's ibadah. That's why we're created. That's why we're created. So then the first aspect of the reason why we're created, we're created, وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ أَيْ إِلَّا لِيُوَحِدُونَ. Tawheed is two types. Tawheed al-ilmi. We understand that part. Tawheed al-ilmi, to know Allah Azza wa Jal. The tawheed of knowing Him, knowing about Him and singling Him out in His actions and in His names and His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're created for that. The creation was created for that. The heavens and the earth were established for that. The messengers were sent for that. The books were revealed for this. Jihad was established in the lands to raise this. To raise this. Naam, this is the case. The other tawheed that likewise we were created for also is tawheed, at-tawheed al-amali. At-tawheed al-amali, the application. The application, the tawheed of application, of action. Of action. And this one here is tawheed al-uluhiyyah. Al-uluhiyyah, or tawheed al-ubudiyyah, or ibadah. Tawheed al-uluhiyyah. Ifradullahi bi af'al al-ibad. That the servants, they will single out their actions for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. That the servants will single out their actions for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So then we can see here that tawheed is two types. At-tawheed al-ilmi. So we're created to know Allah. We're created to have knowledge of Allah. We're created to know Him by His lordship and by His actions. And we're created to know Him by His names and His attributes. We're created for this. To have knowledge. And likewise, we're created to apply that knowledge, to worship Him based upon that knowledge. So then to make things simple and to summarize our purpose in life, we are created for two things. Al-ilmu wal-amal. Al-ilmu wal-amal. Al-ilmu wal-amal. We were created for this. Al-ilmu wal-amal. The people who have The people who are upon the straight path, what is their main characteristics? They have two main traits. The people, الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. What are their main two traits? الْعِلْمُ وَالْعَمَلُ. الْعِلْمُ وَالْعَمَلُ. This is why they're successful. This is how they're on the straight path, because they have knowledge and they have action. They're the people who gather between knowledge and action. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why was he sent? What was he sent with? What did Allah send him with? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I sent al-ilmu wal-amal. Al-ilmu wal-amal. To knowledge and action. Huwa ladhi arsala rasuluhu bil-huda, ay al-ilm al-nafi' wa din al-haq, ay al-amal al-salih. So then the importance of knowledge and action is the reality of knowledge and action is very important. So we see how dangerous ignorance is. Ignorances. What is the way of ignorance? That's the way of the Christians. That's the way of the Christians. And what's the way of obstinance and having knowledge and not applying it? That's the way of the Jews. Those people who have knowledge. They have ilm but no amal. Madhmum. Madhmum. They have ilm but no amal. Rather, they're maghdub alayhim. They have the anger of Allah. Those people who have actions with no knowledge, what are they? They're fit dalala. They're wala dalin. They're the misguided people. The people of success, they are the ones who establish the reason why they were created. What do they gather between? They have knowledge and action. They have knowledge and action. Knowledge and action. Then we were created for this. At-tawheed. We're created for tawheed. Illa liyuwahidun. Wa ma khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liyuwahidun. I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. Illa liya'budun. Meaning, illa liyuwahidun. Except to make tawheed, to establish my tawheed. Tawheed is two types. At-tawheed al-ilmi wa tawheed al-amali. Naam, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned in His book, both of these, a proof for both of these here. هو الذي خلق سبع سماوات ومن الأرض مثلهن يتنزل الأمر بينهن أكمل لتعلموا ماذا أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما هو الذي خلق سبع سماوات It is He, meaning Allah, He created the seven heavens. وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ And the likes thereof from the earth, yani seven earths. يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنَّ His command descends between the heavens and the earth. Yani His legislative command and His universal decree. His command, yani His decree. Yani the amr. It descends between them. Why? He created the seven heavens and from the likes thereof the earth. His command descends between them. Why? لِتَعْلَمُوا This is a very important benefit here for the students of the Arabic language. The lam here is called lam التَعْلِيل Lam التَعْلِيل That this means that for the purpose of, for the reason. لِتَعْلَمُوا So that you know. لِتَعْلَمُوا So that you know. That He's the one who created the seven heavens and from the likes thereof the earth. And His command descends between them. And in the heavens and the earth. لِتَعْلَمُوا So that you may know. أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ That Allah is able to do all things. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِلْمًا That He has encompassed all things in knowledge. That Allah is able to do all things. Just like He is able to create you from nothing and to bring you into life, He is also able to bring you back to life. And He has encompassed all things in knowledge, so you can't hide anything from Him. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى And He will hold you accountable. And He will hold you accountable. This is the case. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He created us. لِتَعْلَمُوا He created the heavens and the earth. لِتَعْلَمُوا So that you may know. So that you may know. لِتَعْلَمُوا So this is a tawheed. Al-ilmi. So then Allah Azza wa Jalla is clarifying in this verse that He created the heavens and the earth, rather the seven heavens, and from the earth the likes thereof, and His command descends among or between them. Huh? For this tawheed. التوحيد العلمي. So that you may know. So that you may know. نعم. أن الله على كل شيء قدير. وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. This is a tawheed, التوحيد العلمي. He created us for this reason. He created the heavens and the earth for this reason. His command is descending for this reason. سبحانه وتعالى. To know Him. To know that He has the ability to do all things and that His knowledge encompassed all things. What is that the knowledge of? The knowledge of His names and His attributes. And that He has the ability to do all things. The knowledge of His actions. He can do all things. Give life and give death. And He can bring back to life, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He can hold accountable. And He can give health. And He can take away health. And He can protect. And He can bring harm. Alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He has and to know Him from His names and His attributes. The second type of tawheed, at-tawheed al-amali, that's in the verse here that the author, he mentioned. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ That I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. That's the tawheed of action, the tawheed of action. So we're created to know Allah Azza wa Jal. We're created to know Him. And likewise to worship Him, to worship Him. This is tawheed. Knowing Allah Azza wa Jalla is tawheed. To have knowledge of Allah, this is tawheed. Tawheed al-rububiyya wa al-asma'i wa al-sifat. It's summarized in the tawheed. At-tawheed al-ilmi. At-tawheed al-ilmi. There's a great benefit about this verse. Al-Imam, Shaykh al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has mentioned, he has a tafsir called the Adwa al-Bayan. Adwa al-Bayan is a tafsir of Qur'an, bil-Qur'an. He mentioned the meaning of this verse here, and the specific detailed meaning of, and I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. He said, the Shaykh al-Shinqiti, he says here, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The meaning of that, it means, إِلَّا لِأَمُرَهُمْ بِعِبَادَتِي وَأَبْتَلِيَهُمْ أَيْ أَخْتَبِرَهُمْ بِالتَّكَالِيفِ ثُمَّ أُجَازِيَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْمَالِهِمْ إِنْ خَيْرًا فَخَيْرٌ وَإِنْ شَرًّا فَشَرٌ وَإِنْ شَرًّا فَشَرٌ. He has summarized this life here in this explanation of this verse. What does it mean that he says that I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone? Except, he said, meaning except that I should command them to worship me, and I should test them and try them with that worship. Try them with commandments and prohibition, bitakalif. And then I will recompense them for their deeds. And if they have good, then they will have good. And if they have evil, then they will have evil. Again, here Al-Imam al-Shanqiti, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said the meaning of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla that I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. Meaning that after looking at many of the verses in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah mentioned in more than one verse the wisdom behind the creation. In this verse mentioned here previously, except to know, created the heavens and the earth, except to know that I have the ability to do all things. And another verse here, he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, like as we mentioned here, except to worship me alone. Now another verse, Allah mentioned about the reason from the heavens and the earth, or the creation of life and death, to test them, and the likes like this. So he has gathered between all of these verses, and he mentioned the reason for the creation of the heavens and the earth, and of the people and the mankind, except, he says, to command them to worship me, and that I should test them and try them according to that. Trying them by takalif, and that's the reality of the worship, and the commandments and prohibitions, obligations and accountability. And then I will recompense them about that. So then, to summarize it, we were created to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, and He will try us about that, and try us with this worship. There will be a test, an ibtila, there will be a trial, there is a test. And that test, the reality of it is takalif, that there are commandments and prohibitions, and that there is accountability. And that Allah Azza wa Jalla will recompense the people for their deeds. And those who have good, they will have good with Him Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And those who have evil, then likewise, that's what they will be recompensed with. That's what they will be recompensed with. With regards to that statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that He mentioned, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتِ, that He is the one who created the seven heavens, وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ, and from the earth, the likes thereof. يتنزل الأمر بينهن, and His command descends between them. لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير, so that you may know that Allah has the ability to do all things. وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما, and that Allah has encompassed all things with knowledge. الإمام السعدي, he mentioned about that. He says, أنزل الله كل ذلك لأجل أن يعرفه العباد ويعلموا إحاطة قدرته بالأشياء كلها وإحاطة علمه بجميع الأشياء. فإذا عرفوه بأسمائه الحسنى وأوصافه المقدسة عبدوه وأحبوه وقاموا بحقه, فهذه الغاية المقصودة من الخلق والأمر, معرفة الله وعبادته, معرفة الله وعبادته. Imam al-Sidi, he mentioned that Allah, He has revealed all of this, and He has revealed all of this and sent it all down so that the slaves and the servants may know Him and know His all-encompassing power and ability over all things, and that He has encompassing knowledge likewise over all things. Because if they know Him by His beautiful names and His holy descriptions, then they will worship Him and they will love Him and they will establish His right. So this is the main goal and purpose from the creation and from the command, and that is to know Allah and to worship Him. And التوحيد, التوحيد العلمي والتوحيد العملي. So the reality of this dunya is a test and a trial. This life was created for this purpose, as a test for us. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Then what did He say? Subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned likewise, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He said in this verse here in Surah Hud that He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and His throne was above the water, in order to test you to see who is best indeed. That, and likewise Allah, He says that He created the death and the life in order to test you to see who is best indeed. So then this life is, it was created for a test, to test us with this ibadah. This life is a test. People say, why is there good and why is there bad? How come there's diseases? Why is some people happy and others are miserable? Why is all these trials? This is the reason why, to test you, to see what's best indeed. Will you show thanks for those blessings and be patient at the time of calamity and seek forgiveness for your sins? If so, you will be from those su'ada, and you will have a sa'ada. And if you fall short in this, or if an individual falls short in this, then he will lose that sa'ada accordingly. So the creation of the heavens and the earth is for this manner. This is what the author is mentioning here. Or excuse me, this is what Imam al-Shanqiti, he's mentioning about this. لِأَمُرَهُمْ بِعِبَادَتِي وَلِيَبَتَرِيَهُمْ بِالتَّكَالِيفِ وَهَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.